You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
So welcome today to our show, the big thing. Oh, what's the name of our show? I forget.
People's Voice.
People's Voice. That's it. The People's Voice.
You did
voice.
Name it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I get my kids' names confused, you know. Now, really, what's I think is kind of an interesting thing to bring up, perhaps, is in this past week, there was a little bit of banter in the news about immigrants that are coming to this country not legally and that have a detention period that they need to serve. However, the capacity for the Border Patrol or Customs or whatever it is, ICE, I guess it is, to house and maintain these individuals doesn't meet the demand, so to speak. And I guess they have an awful lot. I hesitate to throw a number out there because I'm not sure what it is, but it's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's like tens of thousands or thereabout.
I agree. I've read similar, you know, numbers saying anywhere from 10,000 to 50,000, you know, depending on what source you're looking at.
Yeah, and they seem to be. It seems to be much larger than it had been in the past. I think that's a given. And they're talking about – or not they, but the president is talking about that he's going to have to release quite a number of them. And his suggestion was to release them in Nancy Pelosi's district.
I did hear that. So you know, there's a couple of takes on this and I've given a lot of thought about it this week because I figured we'd probably have some discussion around it.
Sure.
But one of the things that's frustrating is – so the president's argument or his stance, his position has been that these undocumented immigrants are a danger to our society and they should not be here. So the thought that I'm going to quote unquote release, and I probably don't like using that word, but I can't think of a better one at the moment, relocate these individuals to areas of the country that basically sanctuary cities, but areas that probably aren't going to vote for the president anyway. And so literally, if he really believes they're dangerous, he's releasing dangerous people into people that, you know, into the where the party that doesn't agree with him is strongest. So it's very political, in my opinion. Or in the case that he just doesn't believe they're illegal and he's doing that just to put an economic burden specifically on those areas, assuming there's an economic burden, I think that's more of a private sector type of decision than a presidential decision.
Well, I'm sure that it's the sort of decision they would teach at some of the Ivy League MBA schools. I mean, I'm confident that they would position it that way. But when you think about it, these people that we don't have the capacity to hold them. Congress won't allocate the additional funds that are necessary to hold them in a safe way. And, you know, the catch and release concept is something that has been practiced many times before, for years, I believe, before
sure.
Donald got in there. It was a catch and release. And now he's just suggesting that since these particular cities have the sanctuary city status, which says we will not force you to go back. I mean, it seems to me as though that's something that should work full circle. He's washing both hands there. They apparently want people who are illegals to be able to stay in their cities. So why not provide them with the resource or the avenue to fulfill that need? And at the same time, those other communities who don't feel as though the sanctuary city concept is a good one, you know, it's like, I mean, it just makes sense that you've got these guys that say, I love Apple Jacks. Okay, well, we got a lot of Apple Jacks. We're going to drop them off at your corner.
Well, but let's go back to my earlier point. And let's say that President Trump truly believes that these illegal immigrants have a percentage that are dangerous. And that's been his claim since the beginning. So he's effectively saying there's folks out there that don't agree with me because he does not agree with Sanctuary City. I think we can agree on that. They disagree with me, so I'm going to release dangerous people there. Now, I don't believe these are dangerous people, so I don't see that it's an issue. But if he does believe it, then he's doing it. And if he doesn't believe it, then he's disingenuous
but
or has been disingenuous.
But if he doesn't release them there, where does he release them? You can't release them back into the ocean. I mean, you have to. This isn't fish. You know, it's you know, catch and release. But once you have them, and the situation that's being forced upon them is that there's no way to process them in the manner which he would like to do them. So the only thing he's doing is going back to the previous administration, to Barack Obama's administration's policy of these people. We're going to give them a date. Hopefully they'll show up for it. Until then, we're going to release them. And at the same time, why would he want to release them someplace that they're not welcome? If you're going to have to release them, you may as well release them where they're welcome to be.
Sure. Well, I mean, there is some positive, you know, thought process there, but I don't believe, and I don't know what's in Donald Trump's head, and I don't really want to know what's in the president's head, but I am not of the opinion that that's his plan. I think he looks at this as more of a punitive action than he does as the right thing to do. And we don't know that he's not going to separate families as part of this, and I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon because we don't know what's going to happen. But I also believe that most of these people came across the border, I would assume, with some idea of where they were going.
Yeah, they were coming here, wherever that means. I'm going to go there.
It's kind of a large landmass, though.
I really have a hard time understanding what could possibly be wrong. You know, and the other point is that if these congressmen who have been voting against the border funding and against funding greater capacity to handle those places, they're voting against it. Why not take these people that are coming in and put them in their districts? And if their district still feels that that's the right way to do it, then they'll continue to elect them. I actually think you could have a big switch. You know, all of those previously thought of as Democratic strongholds, yeah, I mean, you never know. Maybe San Francisco will go red, you know.
Well, hey, that's possible. But I don't think it'd be because some people went there.
I think if we dropped off 200,000 or 300,000 of them in San Francisco, I mean, not we, but they, dropped them off there, I think that would be a pretty effective measure for them to be able to digest.
Also,
the
very
problem.
High cost of living there. So probably people without jobs, you'd drop off and maybe a lower cost of living or a square state. Like,
well,
Colorado.
I mean, if you don't have any money anyways, what's the difference whether you go where it's $2 for a loaf or $1 for a loaf? Actually, they have such high incomes there. They should really be able to afford it. You know, the redistribution of wealth could actually start in Silicon Valley. That would be what a concept. Maybe they're right.
Reaganomics, trickle down.
Well, no, not trickle down. You know, maybe that whole socialist concept can really be tested out to its logical conclusion when it's your pocket instead of mine.
Well, I don't live in Northern California. We live in the same county, so probably we'd be affected by this.
Well,
same.
I sure hope that they don't send them to our county. How do you feel about that? How would you feel if you took, you know, if you live in Troy, I think.
I do.
Troy's probably got about a 120,000 population or something.
I don't even know what it is. It's like the fifth largest city in Michigan.
Yeah, okay, so there's a lot of people there. Say they dropped off, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 migrants that don't have any identification or anything like that, who were arrested at the border for you know, coming into this country illegally, and they don't have any place to put them, and they decide to drop them in Troy. You'd be good with that, right?
Well, conceptually,
you guys have a YMCA or something.
I don't know if we do. But conceptually, I would like them to be taken someplace safe, but I think there needs to be a larger plan than that. So I don't know that dropping 10 or 15,000 people off anywhere is ever going to make sense. Dropping off 5 or 10 people somewhere is probably okay. I would probably say the North isn't a good place.
Who's your congressman?
I actually have no idea.
You have no idea? Democrat? Republican?
I have no idea.
No? Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure it's a Democrat. I think that Troy is – what's her name? She used to be in Barack Obama's administration, and she just ran against Lena Epstein. Who was the Republican candidate? I can't think of her name.
Padma?
No. Well, Dearborn. We could drop them off in Dearborn. That's a strong Democratic community.
It is.
And if they were to drop off, you know, that congressional, I understand it's going to go by congressional district.
So let's go one step farther to that, though. Let's take some of the many abandoned houses in the city of Detroit, and then we can give them housing. and as part of the program, they can rehab these houses. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm just, you know, maybe there's a solution here. Urban farming, and I'm not saying because they're migrants that they have to be farmers. I'm just saying urban farming's a thing.
Yeah, I see. I mean, it's to me, it makes perfect sense.
I have to see who my congresswoman is.
I know her. I've seen her. I just can't think of her name right now. It's one of those things that I've blacked out. But I do that once in a while. Okay, so let's just say that they do put them in. Well, I think isn't California a sanctuary state now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then rather than screw around, just put all of them. Let them cut them all loose in California.
To be fair, I don't know if you know, 10% of the entire population of the U.S. already lives in California. They don't have 10% of the electoral votes.
Well. They're not supposed to. That's not how it works. But actually, they do have 10% of the electoral votes. They just, you know, go in one block and the other ones go in one block.
Right.
The electoral votes are based upon a fixed number. Sometimes you have states that get a larger break because if they have, you know, 1.5 of the necessary number for an electoral vote, they get two.
Haley Stevens.
Right. Very nice young lady. She moved back to Michigan, moved into her mother's basement to establish residency. And she's, you know, I'm sure she's doing a real good job in Congress. And I think that they should take, you know, wait a minute. I think she's in my district too.
She is. Yes.
You know what? I don't think it's a good idea.
No, I think you have a nice big backyard, Wes. We'll put some tents up. It'll be fine.
I don't have that big of a backyard. But and besides that, they'd have to share it with my English bulldog. Speaking of sharing, my wife's family has a relative who came over from Hong Kong just to visit. And, you know, he's very concerned about his legal status and all this stuff. He's going back like in 8 days. He's only been here for a very short time. But at any rate, he's in residential real estate in Hong Kong. And he's been there for quite a while, and his family is engaged in that for a while, has some apartments and things. But anyways, he was telling me that almost everybody there that works in the finance industries and everything of Hong Kong, which is a major component, that they all have domestic help. And what he was talking to me about that, and then he drifted into, well, when we find someone an accommodation, a home or whatever, we have to make sure that they have enough space for a domestic worker in their home. And although it's not a legal requirement, sometimes you have to allocate less space. They usually try to target around 36 square feet, which is 6 by 6.
Yeah, that's a jail cell, basically.
I think it's smaller than a jail cell.
Yeah, I think a jail cell might be 7 by 7.
I don't know. But
10 by 10.
6 by 6?
I
could lay down.
Asian people are smaller, right? I mean –
Well, you know, that may be, but
that was a joke. Maybe a poorly timed one.
Oh well, no, they are smaller. Anyways, we're not going to go there. The point being that one of the properties, he wasn't involved in this, had put a loft sort of relationship in a bathroom, so that the domestic could live in this loft. Which was over the bathroom, had about a 2.5 foot clearance there, and that's where she was living. I asked him, "Is that, you know, is that because it's such a capitalist area?" And he goes, "Well, Shanghai is the same way," and so you know, so I don't know. It seems to me that whole idea of socialism isn't working out too well in China.
Well, I don't think we want to base anything we do on China's government. So let's be, you know, fair, or frankly, on Russia's government. I understand. You know, I think part of that's just cultural. Like we're from a society where you got to have a few thousand square feet just to feel comfortable with your family of four, right? That's our society. My ex-wife worked for a real estate company here. I won't say who they are, although
Is that your first, second, or third ex-wife?
My first wife. Yeah.
Okay.
You have one too. so she worked for a real estate company that owned many businesses and or many different properties. The other thing they did, and I think you'll approve of this, Wes, on Fridays afternoon, they were allowed to drink at their desk. They had a bar. It's kind of neat.
Interesting.
So a little old school. The guys were in their like 80s.
Yeah.
But anyway, One of the things they – in the apartments that they owned, one of the things they were challenged with was specifically people who immigrated from Asian countries would bring 10 or 15 people to live in one apartment, and they would put up cubicles and a bed in each cubicle, and they were just completely fine with that. Now, our systems aren't set up from a electrical – plumbing especially, they're not set up for 10 people living in a one-bedroom apartment, right? So there were a lot of issues caused by that. And most leases say you can't do that. But they didn't have
any – Wait. Just leases or Betty's and Sue's,
yeah,
and everybody?
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But I'm not even sure – I'm sure there's a law here about how many square foot per person you have to have, but I don't know what it is. I know it's more – I got to believe it's more than 6x6.
Yeah, I think they're violating the Poultry Act when they
do right,
that,
yeah. You know? I've been – to a chicken farm. You know, I work in the food industry. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity, but
you know, I really haven't.
It is not great.
I mean, I've been to a farm that has chickens.
Sure,
but they have
right.
lots of room.
Right. No, no.
I don't know what the big deal is.
Poultry farms, not great. And pig farms, pigs are mean. I mean, they're being slaughtered, of course, so you'd be mean too. But they will bite. I don't know if you know, pigs will bite.
Uh-huh.
And they're also cannibals. If one of them's injured, the others will eat that one.
Really?
Yeah. Hogs will eat. I mean, pork's bacon's delicious, right? So
yeah,
you can see why they would do that. But yeah, they're not nice animals.
Huh. Okay, so 6 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a 36 square feet. That's six by six.
Yep. I'm taller than that. Well, I'm that height.
Is considered luxurious domestic worker accommodations. I just can't get quite past that thought. No windows, no, you know. And that one domestic worker who had a loft over the bathroom, she actually had a nice accommodations because she had plumbing.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's a good point. Of course, yeah. I mean, she has plumbing when other people come in to use it as well, which
yeah,
I don't
that's
know how they
true.
Manage that.
And apparently that broke some barrier in terms of news in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
And because it was some celebrity, of course, it was, you know, one of those liberal type people that was doing this.
Of course, wow.
And
so all celebrities are liberal now. That's the
actually, you know,
Charlton Heston.
There was another thing. I was talking with him, and he speaks real good English. He teaches English, but he doesn't speak English like we speak English. You know,
sure. There's a lot of slang in what we say.
Yeah, right. And he was talking about the progressive movement, but the progressive movement in Hong Kong is the movement that wants more capitalism.
Oh, right. That makes. I mean, progressively. Progressing away from the current government would be the
yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how he translates it anyways. And it was interesting because apparently the biggest problem I'm not going into detail on
right,
this
yeah.
is – or the biggest perceived concern is that lots of government officials in communist China are funneling lots of money out of the country, which is interesting. And, you know – I always thought that since, you know, I think like nuns and priests, I think they take vows of poverty or something
that.
Don't they? Now,
as far as I know.
Do the leaders of the Democratic Party take vows of poverty? Like Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders?
No. But, you know, on that topic, you know, I wanted to bring this up this week and you reminded me of this. So, you know, there's this whole conversation going on about Trump's tax returns having to be released by the 24th this month And I want to go on record. So right here now, I do not believe that he doesn't want his returns released because he has concerns over like an IRS audit or that type of thing. I think he's afraid that people are going to find out doesn't make as much money or isn't as wealthy as he would like to pretend to be.
Well, let me tell you what I think. I think that many of his investments that failed were LLCs without personal guarantees. So let's say that you had a big company and it failed and had, you know, $10 million worth of debt on it when it failed. And if it was in an LLC where you were the member, would be the sole member, but just as an example, if he was the sole member of that LLC that failed, he would have the benefit of that $10 million loss on his tax return, which he can carry forward under current law indefinitely. It was at one time limited to a certain number of years, and then it went to forever, and it could be repealed. Or, you know, it's one of those things that has an expiration date on it. But anyways, so you can't say forever because things could change in the future. But current law has no expiration, no limit to how far you can carry it forward unless the law expired. Okay. Which would mean that since some of his statements in the past have said, you know, hey, I don't have any problem with debt. That's good. I like debt. You know, I know how to work with debt. It seems to me as though he probably is carrying forward some substantial losses. And that's why he probably doesn't have to pay very much income tax because he has those to offset it. Now, the interesting twist that is if you have those losses, it doesn't mean that you ever had to put money in to lose it. It just means you had to have bills that you
– Right.
Whether you paid them or not is irrelevant.
Right. Debt against that business, against that LLC that
– Yeah. Just like, you know, it's all based on accrual. It's no, it's all based on cash, which is date of transaction, not necessarily date of payment. So with the date of transaction,
But I thought LLCs did not protect you from personal. I mean, I thought it was
an LLC is a corporation.
It's limited liability. It's a limited.
That's the whole point. Limited liability. Now, most people won't put yourself. Won't allow an LLC to go without a personal guarantee from the members of the LLC.
Right.
However, you know, in Trump's situation. Maybe he didn't have a loan with the construction company. Maybe he just had a contract with them.
Right.
And if it was signed in the name of the company, then it wouldn't be – he wouldn't have personal liability on it. But as an LLC, it would still pass through. By the way, this is not
This is not tax, legal or
This is not tax advice. I am not an attorney nor am I a tax accountant or any of that stuff. But that's the way I understand it. Check with your own H&R Block to make sure.
And just for future reference, the last thing you want to do in your life is take legal or tax advice from Wes or I. It's not going to be to your advantage.
It may be the last thing that you do in your life if you do. So, yeah, not good. But that's the way I understand it. And I think I have a pretty good understanding of it. But you would have to verify that first. But I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to show that he didn't pay any taxes and he's got a huge loss that he's carrying forward from whether it's Atlantic City casinos or whatever. And it could have been just a portion of it. You know, it might not be the big thing that he got lots of people to fund, but maybe he owned the decorating company that ordered the chandelier that doesn't get paid that, you know.
So no, I don't want to get off topic again but you're probably correct. Okay. But I still think he's not worth what he claims to be. And he's so ego driven that he couldn't stand if he's not whatever the ex richest man in America. But,
Let's put it this way. I don't think he's really wanting for a lot of things in his life.
Well, that's fair.
And it seems to me that, you know, he probably doesn't have to pay at golf at the golf courses that he owns, you know.
No, but the taxpayers do. We pay for all of it. So we can get on that
And I do understand that most of his wealth now is tied up in licensing rather than in actual real estate. That's a big part of it because he licenses his
name. Right, yeah. He doesn't own a lot of that, right? It's the Trump organization.
Brand.
It's almost a franchising type of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
But it's confusing. So let's get back to why the Democrats don't want to take their own medicine. And that's really what it is. You know, if they don't want those immigrants to be coming to their town, then, you know, then there's a real problem
I think the argument rings hollow in a lot of ways. And it's, you know, it's the NIMBY thing with prisons too, right? Everybody thinks that we should have bigger, nicer prison. Not every – people think we should have bigger, nicer prisons, but they don't want that bigger, nicer, more humane prison in their backyard, right? That's not any
– Right.
But I think if he said he were going to bus these people around the country to areas – hey, maybe there's places that are – you know, the unemployment's at an all-time low. So maybe there are some areas that – I understand you can't employ illegal immigrants. But maybe there's a we used to allow, right, migrant workers to come and pick crops legally. I can't remember the name of the law.
Well, if they want to go through that legal process, they still could.
So,
but instead they want to rush the wall, so it's, you know.
Well, they didn't rush the wall. They're in a cage.
Well, they got caught. They got stopped.
Well, I don't think we know. Maybe they just surrendered.
You know, I had a nightmare the other day about my house being infested with mice. And I don't remember if any of you remember do you remember the cartoon with Dixie and Pixie or whatever it was? There was a couple of Mexican mice. They wore sombreros.
I don't remember this.
Well, anyways, I'll I'll share that with you off air. So what then? I guess I understand what you're saying. Like the Democrats in Nancy Pelosi's district would like to take their fair share of immigrants, as long as everybody else in the country, even if they don't want to, would take their fair share.
Sure.
Okay, so now you're going to force feed me your politics,
but
rather than taking a bigger portion of what you're asking for yourself.
But that's the case of politics all the way across, right? I don't know anybody who wants this 42-cent Michigan gas tax, right? But we're all going to take it.
Well, apparently the Democrats want it real bad.
Well, they want to fix the roads. And the Republicans won't give them more money through regular taxation. So they had to tax gas.
And
by the way, I don't even agree with that statement. I'm just saying that to irk you.
And I understand that it's a difficult piece, because people always think that the answer is always more money. And it's not always the answer.
No, I agree with you.
Unfortunately, sometimes if you just throw more money at something, it just means more money. And it's always been my experience that almost anything run by the government isn't run very well.
I would agree with that. That if the government was the private sector, that it wouldn't last very long.
Right. And school districts, as an example, in Michigan, all get the same dollar amount per head from the state.
Right.
Back in the days of Headley and all that stuff in the late 70s, the taxes were rerouted from the local municipality, which collected them and then put them directly into the schools, into the state instead, which divided the money up equally among all the students, mm-hmm. because that was thought that it would provide equity in terms of the education system throughout the state.
Was that like when the government, you know, I thought it was I may be confused, but when nationally we created the Secretary of Education, National Education System, or are those two things not?
This was before that. The big push was that there was the reason why there were failing school districts was because they didn't have the tax revenue to be able to be successful. So now that they've divided it all up, the differences between school districts still exist. The school districts that are unsuccessful in terms of graduation rates and education, you know, the whole shtick, are given the same amount of money. Now, the only difference in that is that individual school districts can raise bonds for physical property.
Sure.
So theoretically, you could be in a school district that maybe the roof would be falling down, but they have the same amount of money to pay for the teachers.
That's, and I was going to, you know, the millages, obviously, the education millage. Like in Troy, we have a giant education millage, but.
Right. And that's so that you can have a swimming pool,
right,
and pretty schools that get painted.
But, safe schools. They use it to.
But the nicer the classroom is doesn't mean any less education that has to go on there. You know, it's
easier to learn in a safe, clean.
Well, actually, the city of Detroit has very safe schools. They put in metal detectors a long time ago. There's much less. It's the safest place that kids go in Detroit is into the schools every day.
I would believe that. That seems like a fair statement.
Yeah. So I mean, really the West Bloomfield and Troy schools should be on a par with the Detroit schools, and they're not.
Well, there's so much more that goes into that, Wes, and I know you understand
well,
that.
Well, it is. There is a lot more that goes into it. It's not just money that makes them the same, and that's the problem. The problem is when you think that just more money will fix a problem, then you get aircraft carriers that can't launch planes. Then you get mailmen who don't deliver the mail. Cliff Clavin never delivered the mail.
No. Cliff never did. I always wondered about that.
Newman,
yeah.
Never delivered the mail.
I love Newman.
Now we have a friend, John,
who delivers
the mail.
We think he does. They could all go home to his barn like that other guy. That's just a joke, John. If you're listening, we're not. So, you know, but the thing about it is that there's burdens upon school districts like Detroit, any area where there's a lower per capita income, right? So in the Detroit school system, the school is also burdened with feeding most of the students without receiving any cost for that, right? That money
comes separately from the state for feeding. They had that's a program that's separate. The money that comes from the state for education is supposed to be for education. I don't think they can use it outside of that scope. And besides that, the millage in Detroit, for example, is assessed against the businesses that are in Detroit as well as the residences, but the real bulk of it comes from the businesses that pay it. So as the population decides to vote for more millages, more businesses were leaving. Now, with more businesses going into Detroit, more opportunity there, they're probably going to raise some more money. But sure. The point is that more money doesn't always fix problems.
And I don't disagree with that. I think anybody that's ever worked in the private sector, right, I have a large team, right? And so whenever we need to do something, someone inevitably comes to me and says we need to hire someone. And my argument is always, well, are we sure that we're working the most efficiently with what we have? And you can usually find a number of places where you're probably not being as efficient as you need to be. And I think in government that is multiplied, right? Because the oversight's different, right? Because they're not responsible for making money, right? Government's the only one of the very few things in the world that my responsibility to my company is to drive revenue and make money. That's why they pay me. The government doesn't have that rule. They just have to perform the service.
Well, they have to perform. They have to have a semblance of performing the service.
That's fair. I don't disagree.
So when you see that guy going around with the shovel and he takes a little bit of that black crap off the back of the truck and throws it in the hole and then they drive on as if that's going to fix the pothole.
What do you think that stuff is? Do you think it even does anything?
I think what it does is it temporarily fills the hole. They take a quick picture that it's not there anymore. And 2 or 3 days later, you got the same damn pothole. Yeah. Half the bridges are falling down.
Yeah.
You know, that's – you know, those bridges were deteriorating as a result of Grandholm.
Well, I think those bridges were deteriorating before Grandholm.
Well, they may have been. But the ones that were – you know what? Go to Indiana. Go to Ohio. They have virtually within a very small margin of error the same type of weather that we have.
Yeah, I would agree.
And their roads are roads.
They have toll roads, both of them. Okay. And by the way, I lived in a place with toll roads. I mean, I was spending $50 a month on tolls.
Let's face it, your last name is Toll.
Yeah, well, no, so I'm a big –
It's no surprise that you would innately gravitate towards that answer.
But listen, so you know they have toll roads. They have much stricter policing. Okay, so you're much more likely to get a ticket and that – you know, a percentage of that money goes to roads. But the biggest thing is they have different restrictions on – per axle weight loads of trucks.
Correct.
And that was done for the advantage of businesses, not for the advantage of individuals. So probably the first thing we could do to help our roads is reduce that weight per axle allowed.
Well, isn't that a better answer than 42 cents a gallon?
Yes.
Well, then why is our governor all – you know, she's not – now, look, you can say that Schneider should have done it. But right now, the governor is the governor. She's the one who's proposing the 42 cents. She's the Democrat. And instead of looking at that axle weight, she's looking at raising the taxes. Sure. So you've got a Democratic governor who wants to subsidize industry.
I think, you know what? Your statement may be correct. I think she's afraid of hurting the industry. Okay. I mean, maybe she should be. But I would go one step further that the reality is I don't think she expected to get 42 cents. I think that was an opening offer, okay, and maybe it's going better than expected. We can all agree that our roads are for crap, right? Our roads are crumbling around us. Everybody I know now, when you buy a car, you buy the tire and wheel protection because you plan on putting a wheel or tire on your car as a result of potholes. So those are factual, but the last governor, the last administration did nothing to fix it. And you can blame Granholm, and maybe she did nothing to fix it. But I think that we've always had this issue with our roads, and maybe we do need toll roads. Maybe we need some other way to pay for them. Maybe
– Well, the axle thing – okay. I've heard the axle answer before, and I actually think that it's accurate. I do not – I haven't verified this, but the person I was discussing it with seemed very knowledgeable, and they said that it was actually – a an incentive or adjustment that was made way, way, way back during World War II.
To allow for all the equipment for World War II to ship. I believe that's correct.
Right. Okay. Now, if that is or isn't the case, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that apparently we're one of the few, if not the only jurisdiction that has that sort of change in the thing. So if we raise it to become comparable with our neighboring states, we're not going to lose anything.
Well, and here's the real question, though.
We're not going to be non-competitive if we come up to the same bar as everybody else.
Here's the real question. Where are those trucks going if no other states allow this weight? Because the truck's going somewhere. Right, so it can't drive into Ohio, Indiana.
Well, what
so is it going within Michigan from place to place?
What I had heard is that they go ahead and go into the other states anyways, and the businesses have made the decision that they're better off paying the fines on the trucks that wind up being measured, because there's enough of them that get through. Sort of like drugs come into the United States, they know that so many of them are going to get caught.
Right, yeah, percentage of loss.
And that's what I understand. It's like it's not a crime, it's just a fine. So they just go with it.
There's that famous.
But that fine goes towards the roads.
Right, oh, yeah, there you go. That's why they have good roads. They're fighting. No, I mean, it's like the old argument about, I mean, it's a true thing, but like Ford with the Pinto, right? When they discovered they were blowing up, and then that memo was produced where they said, well, we believe the cost for the defense of this is going to be cheaper than recalling these cars.
Yeah, that was a bad memo.
It was a bad memo. And I think we all know not to write a memo like that today. But
well, that's right. You know, I think it was Secretary Director Casey that told Oliver North that if you have to take notes, you don't belong in this business. So at a certain level, you have to, you know, understand why you're doing
things. What happened to Oliver North? He's still around somewhere?
Oh, yeah. He's the president of the NRA now.
Of course he is.
And he's also a consultant on one of the major news networks. I'm sure you can't guess
which
one.
Is it a small animal that runs and is possibly red?
Yes. Hmm. It is. However, I have a book autographed by him once, as a matter of fact. I heard him speak at the Detroit Economic Club some years ago, and he was there. And he was a very good speaker. You know, he really hit the circuit hard after the whole Iran-Contra
shit. I think he did okay for himself.
I think he did very well.
I thought Wayne LaPierre was head of the – I didn't know. So they've switched that out?
No, Wayne got – Wayne is like the executive at something. So he's like the guy in the office all the time.
Oh, okay.
And Ali has taken over for Charlton.
Yeah.
That was a big blow when Charlton Heston died. He was
a big proponent.
A real moneymaker for him. But at any rate, so the real story here is that the illegal immigrants are going to go where they'll feel safer because they have no – because they're sanctuary cities. If an illegal immigrant happens to be in San Francisco and a crime is committed against them, they can go to the police.
That's a good thing.
It's really where they belong. It's safer for them if they're put in those sanctuary cities. Thank God Troy isn't a sanctuary city.
Well,
huh? I heard that Nancy Pelosi actually said that it's a bad idea to release these aliens.
Well, I don't think the intentions with which it's being done are – I'm going to use the word honorable.
Well, if they put them in a city that's not a sanctuary city and God forbid one of them are assaulted in some way or something, or there's some human trafficking or anything like that, they have no repercussions to seek safety. So it really is a humanitarian effort to –
Well, Trump is known for his humanitarianism.
Hey, look.
He really should win a Nobel Prize.
It's just like if you have an area that's good for ducks, that's where you should put ducks, right?
To hunt them or to
– Well, I mean if it's a place that's good for ducks to live and you got to have wetlands and all that stuff. So that's where they belong. You wouldn't take a bunch of ducks and put them in the middle of a prairie. They got web feet for a reason. So
they can fly, though. It really doesn't matter where you drop them off.
That's probably true. And there might be a flight risk with these. But then why would they want to leave the sanctuary cities? They come around with a food truck every day. They have tacos.
Yeah,
available.
But what if you're not there with your wife or daughter or son? Or what if what you're separated from, then they're at a different sanctuary city?
Well, I think if they decided to go on this multi-mile march, you know, they knew they were – I mean, look.
These people aren't from the – We haven't talked about the caravan in a while. It's weird. But I don't think all these people are from the caravan. They're just people that are being held at the border.
That might be true. However, there are caravans. Will you concede that point?
There was a caravan. There were six or seven people in that. We saw it. There were stones thrown, right?
Yeah, it was a big riot.
Yeah.
Big riot.
It's huge. It's weird how we haven't heard about that since the elections. It's weird.
So do you think that Detroit is going to become a sanctuary city?
I think it could be, but not for the same reasons that you would. You know, I think there's much bigger concerns within the urban areas of Detroit, the residential areas of Detroit, than if somebody is in the country illegally. And I think there's probably quite a bit of people that are illegally in the country from Canada into Detroit. I know that's not what we're talking about, but so I do have a friend that works for ICE in Detroit, and that's
– I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Yeah. Actually, the friend I have, I think, works for ATF. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a whole different thing.
A whole different thing. But apparently that's a confusing whole alphabet soup thing.
Yeah.
Who does what anymore doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what the initials are.
Right. Yeah. Right. Sure.
You know, like we're taping this session right now. But there's no tape involved. I think that's a violation of something. But
recording might just be okay.
Okay. Well, we're recording.
They still call – when they release it, they call it an album, but it's not an album anymore.
Yeah. Well.
Vinyl's back though, FYI, just a whole separate vinyl. There's a whole section of vinyl at Best Buy now.
My son has a whole bunch of vinyl records and a real record player and everything. He thinks it's new technology. He saw this big disc.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. When did they come up with that?
So listen, they have now – this is – we don't get off, but this is for all the listeners' benefit. They have turntables that read with a laser so they don't damage the vinyl. So if you have classic vinyl, you don't run the risk of – remember in the old days they'd break free and scratch up your record. You'd wear it out.
I actually have a friend of mine who lives in Plymouth who does a column and a – I don't know. He has a serial storyline about different types of music that he does almost every day. And I think it's probably more like a broadcast than a – I don't know. Anyways, it's very interesting. But you're right. I hear big things about vinyl, and I understand 8-tracks are coming back.
I have used an 8-track. Mm-hmm. But you know my uncle, so he has a cabin up north, right? And when I first started going there when I was a kid, that was the only thing they had there was an 8-track player, and there were 4 8-tracks. So you better like America, Horse with No Name, because you're going to hear it a lot. And you know Herb. You know that Herb was responsible for those 8-tracks being there.
I'm sure he was. And I'm sure that they're probably still there.
It's gone. No, I really think they were taken and given back to Herb in like the 90s when I put a stereo receiver with a CD player up there.
Okay. All right. So I think we've accomplished something. We've settled the question.
We have.
In terms of where the illegal immigrants –
Wes's house.
Should be placed. They should go where they'll be the safest, and the safest place for them to go is where they have all the security and accessories that go along with being in a community. They'll have health care. They'll have police protection. They'll be able to actually vote in most school districts in those areas, or at least in some of them. They'll be well integrated into society and well supported right off the bat.
They don't get health care.
I'm very excited.
We don't have socialized health care. There's no.
Well, now, in California, they do.
No.
Oh, yeah. They have their own health care in California that compensates for whatever the federal government does.
I don't think that's true. They cannot.
My brother-in-law is a doctor there. He set up a practice in near a bus stop in Oxnard because there was a lot of immigrants that would come through there, and if they didn't have the federal health care available to them at that time from the government, like Social Security, you know, Medicare or Medicaid or whatever, then they had CalCare. And anyone, including immigrants at that time, could get CalCare. So he did not have to deal with any non-payments or anything like that. And what he would do with anyone that needed something beyond what he could do in his clinic is he would just send them over to the emergency room.
Sure. Well, that happens here. You know, because one of our big, you know, there is no non-care for an emergency room, right? They have to care for you by law.
Yeah.
But do you know there's several healthcare systems in Detroit, but do you know the average payment of any of the major hospitals within the city of Detroit is 50%? That's how many of their bills get paid, 50%. we must have some sort of healthcare issue, right? Now, well, I know your argument could be, do those people want to pay and just aren't, or, you know, want to pay and can't, or can they pay and won't? And that argument you could probably go for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know that I can really respond to that very well. I will say that perhaps it is a mistake that anybody that goes to an emergency room can get healthcare.
Well, how are you going to not care for people though? If you're shot on the side of the road, do they get to say, oh,
you see, in an emergency
room, Blue Cross card.
Their pricing is based upon emergency services. But in a clinic, the services are priced differently because there's a different demand level and they don't have to have the same staffing. So you could have a physician's assistant actually staffing an urgent care.
Right, right.
But you have to have everybody, including a frickin' heart surgeon on call for an emergency room.
So here's a true story, quick story. We'll end our podcast. I mean, you can end your podcast. I used to work for a grocery chain here in Detroit called Farmer Jack. I think we talked about this. And so I was in their corporate office and I had, you know, our corporate insurance was. This is 20 years ago when we had a little bit better insurance everywhere, right?
Right, right.
And my girlfriend at the time and I were on vacation and we were in Minnesota. And
now, did your wife know you were there?
Yeah, but that girlfriend became my first wife, but I didn't want the first wife note joke to come back up.
Oh,
but
okay,
Yeah,
okay,
so okay. We may have even been married at the time, I'm not sure. And we were staying with my aunt and uncle. Anyway, I wake up occasionally with I have kinked ear canals, and I'll wake up deaf in an ear. They have to clean out my ear, right? It's not anything. So my insurance, I was out of network because I was in Minnesota. Ah. So if I had gone to like a doctor there or a clinic there, I was going to pay the whole thing out of pocket. However, I had zero deductible for ER visit, and that extended out of network because it was an ER. So I chose to go to an ER to get my ear cleaned because it was free.
And how much did that set back your insurance company?
Thousands of dollars, I'm sure.
Thousands of dollars.
But it didn't cost me anything.
Right. But you could have gone to the drugstore and got that, some of that little
mirroring. Doesn't work for me. I have one. It doesn't work. It's got a little bulb you squeeze. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. Yeah. But I see you've experienced it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand. Well, thank you for bearing with us today. Our upcoming podcasts are going to be divided into two segments. The first segment is going to be the People's Voice, and the second segment is going to be the Success Factor. You've endured the People's Voice today, and the Success Factor is going to be leaning towards just what it sounds. We're going to look for things that have made people successful, or things that drove people towards success, as well as things that have pushed people back, whether it's in business or whether it's in life. And actually, you know, they're the same thing. It's just the business of life. Thank you very much, and we look forward to visiting again.
Absolutely. Well, is there a phone number? I think you had a phone number you wanted to give folks could call in if they had comments on the previous week's show.
Let me pull this up. And you're welcome to call this number and leave a message anytime if it doesn't get answered. And we'll be happy to look at those comments or hear those comments, maybe even play them back. And you know, for some reason, I'm having a little bit of a hard time finding the here we go. It's 248-820-5203. 248-820-5203. Thank you for listening.